Like many others, Meacher also cited the estimates made by the Association for the Study of Peak Oil and Gas and was glum about the chance of meeting the expanded global need Cheney had cited in 1999. The former British minister summed up, "These late 2003 calculations place the coming oil crunch sometime between 2010 and 2015, perhaps earlier." The reserves in the world's supergiant and giant oil fields are dwindling at an average rate of 4 to 6% a year. No more big frontier regions remain to be explored except the North and South Poles. The production of non-conventional crude oil has already been initiated at enormous cost in Venezuela's Orinoco Belt and Canada's Athabasca tar sands and ultra-deep waters. Yet no major primary energy alternative can replace oil and gas in the short to medium term. While the constituency pressures pushing Bush, Blair, Cheney, and Rumsfeld toward war were evident, the endgame urgings of the major U.S. oil corporations were less clear. Although the giant firms left many partial fingerprints on task forces and meetings later officially denied by the White House, even critics differed over what the corporations sought. The money, prestige, and reserves at stake were beyond dispute. Were ExxonMobil, Chevron Texaco, BP, and Royal Dutch Shell to divide up Iraq, their receipts over several decades would be in the trillions of dollars. Although no oil company or government estimates were made public, James Paul of the Global Policy Forum offered these estimates. Iraq's oil is the world's cheapest to produce, at a cost of only about $1 per barrel. The gigantic rent on Iraq's oil during decades of production could yield company profits in the range of $4 to $5 trillion. Assuming 50 years of production and 40% royalties, Iraq could yield annual profits of $80 to $90 billion per year, more than the total annual profits of the top five companies, even in the banner year of 2003. Such a windfall would have sent oil companies' stock prices soaring. In January 2004, when Royal Dutch Shell had to reduce its worldwide reserve estimates by 20%, from 19.3 billion barrels to 15.4 billion, its stock and market capitalization immediately dropped by 7%. Were any of the giants to get long-term control of one of the 15 to 30 billion barrel Iraqi fields, even that large a company could roughly double its reserves. That, in turn, could increase their market capitalization by 40 to 60%, obviously a boon to shareholders. No company management could do other than join in planning for such a possibility. Iraq watcher Paul, from his perch near the United Nations, told a TV interviewer in 2004 that because the U.S. and U.K. oil giants were so worried about their futures, it's really only through that lens that we can understand both the present situation and what's been happening in Iraq over quite a substantial period of time. James Akins, the former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, likewise commented in early 2003 that what they, the Bush administration, have in mind is denationalization and then parceling Iraqi oil out to American oil companies. The American oil companies are going to be the main beneficiaries of this war. However, centrist commentators were more likely to describe the pre-war viewpoint of big oil companies as defensive. One progressive tilting analysis concluded by citing the views of consultants, diplomats, and company executives that the large U.S. firms were torn between greed and fear. If all went well, they wanted to be at the table when the spoils were divided, but they feared that a fiasco could turn Middle Eastern opinion against the United States and the American oil companies. 6 months after the U.S. invasion, when Iraqi output shrank in the face of relentless sabotage of pipelines and facilities by Iraqi insurgents, Saudi Arabia stunned industry observers by giving a big gas development contract to French Total instead of ExxonMobil. The Saudis, it seemed, were displaying their annoyance over U.S. behavior. The U.S. energy industry had given George W. Bush more money in 2000 than it had to all the previous 1992 and 1996 contenders combined because of the stakes and GOP responsiveness to the oil industry. but nothing about his career in the Texas oil industry suggested that he was a deep-thinking global strategist. A skepticism justified by the outcome of the 2003 invasion with respect to both Iraqi oil production, down, and global oil prices, up.